In our effort to bring the best knowledge from the stellar minds, this time we reach to another internationally acclaimed coach. His story to come into fitness is inspiring. He is among very few Indian coaches who chose to be the educators, and they are spreading the light of knowledge to budding fitness professionals. This podcast will show you a person who chose to shape himself from a trainer to a coach, and finally, he turned himself into a yogi. Let's meet Gaurav Negi.
This much time for us during your really busy schedule. So welcome to Road to Revamp, and without wasting any time, I'll ask you about prehab and rehab. What is prehab and what is rehab? Like, people are very confused in these two words. Would you please describe them for us?
First, thank you so much, Abhishek, for inviting me for your podcast. And it is always, you know, good, feel good factor to be a part of the community and the society, and to pay back them, you know, in the same way. And I think you're doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Trying
for that.
To.
And same efforts are going on from my side also. And yeah, since you have asked me about the prehab and rehab, so as the term says, prehab, so it is like pre, anything before the injury, right? So rehab is mostly, we take that word for the injury part, right? Rehabilitation, coming back to the same normal situation, normal thing, right? So prehab is when you are preventing something from getting injured, right? So when you are stopping something, or you're, so like you say, prevention is always better than cure. Mm-hmm. So in prehab, we always teach right corrective exercises so that you are not ending up having some injuries,
right,
mainly related to workouts. Could be CrossFit, could be any fitness regime, running, or maybe yoga. Nowadays, people are getting a lot of injuries in yoga postures, right? And when it comes to rehab, so rehabilitation simply means after injuries. Once you get injury, then you are working on that correction part. Now, how to rehabilitate that part so that you can come back to the normal position again. That is rehab in simple terms.
Can you tell us with some examples so we can understand it a bit better? If for a CrossFitter, what would be, like, if he is going to do squats in his workout,
yes,
what kind of prehab he can do?
All right. So since you've asked me about the CrossFit and the squats here, so I would always say, being a professional like what I do normally, mm-hmm, I would love to do the assessments first. So assessment, okay, can start not just by checking their joint range mobility and, mm-hmm, stability, but just see the squat pattern,
okay,
or the squat pattern of that athlete, right, or that candidate, normal general candidate, right? So if you can see that person is unable to even sit 90 degrees,
mm-hmm,
right, and he's struggling, he's falling forward, right? So it won't be a good idea to give him a lot of weights in CrossFit and doing, you know, weighted squats.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always prefer to make them do some joint lubrication exercises before, some stretching mobility exercises before, and just see the range of motion. And definitely I would not never ever stop that person from doing squat, because squat is one of the primary pattern of human body, right? So I would never ask that person to stop squatting, but limit the range of motion so that person won't get any injury, right? So in prehab, I would always recommend that person to do certain stuff like mobility drills, stretching techniques, and knowing of their body limits,
okay,
and work accordingly.
Right.
And once the person is already injured in squat, like some impingement is already there now, or maybe because of that hip impingement or that hip immobility, now the knee injury is there, or maybe the ankle injury is there because of that, you know, a lot of pronation, pronated foot or flat foot, because it happens from down to up or up to down, right? So you, if you have more lot of anterior tilted, you're gonna end up having either hip impingement or maybe knee injuries or maybe ankle injury. Or same goes from down to up. If you are pronated, flat-footed, then same thing gonna go up, because your work, your body works in a, you know, integration as a unit.
Right.
So it can happen anywhere. So once it is already there, the injury thing, then after that you're gonna end up having some strengthening work, some again releasing work for the tight muscles, activation of those inhibited muscles which were not working to make that movement efficient. Then you slowly and gradually come back to the normal pace.
Okay.
So that is something rehab.
Very detailed answer. Do you think rehab and prehab for an athlete would be different than a layman?
I say one thing always to, even to my clients, that everyone is an athlete.
How?
Everyone is an athlete because everyone is doing their part of job every day, day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
So it totally depends what kind of job you are doing. If you are a sports person, if you are a footballer, you are running, you are doing some agility things, you are doing some speed work, right? You are doing some endurance work and some power work. If you are a house worker, or maybe the housewife, still you are doing something, right? You are brooming, mopping, cleaning, dusting, right? Cooking, taking care of kids, right? Going to shopping, taking carry bags, something or the other, but still you are moving.
Right.
As far as we are moving, we all are athletes. So we should respect that thing and we should just work accordingly. So we should just see what we need in life, in day-to-day life. And if we are working accordingly, that's what we call functional training also, right?
Right.
The stuff which is very fancy nowadays, functional training, it is what?
Yeah.
You're working according to your day-to-day life. If you're doing that, you're an athlete. Why not? Yes.
So it doesn't mean if you are a layman or an athlete, rehab or prehab, if it is needed, it is applicable equally.
It is applicable equally because we are all humans, isn't it? We all have those joints. We all have those bones. We all have those muscles. It is just that for how much quantities we are working them on or we are using them for our day-to-day life. So an athlete would be needing maybe some higher amount of prehab and rehab because he would be needing in a much higher quantity.
Yes.
But a general population, a general layman would not be. Maybe. Or maybe not. Because maybe he's more sedentary into the lifestyle and now he's suddenly into movements and he got hurt. Or maybe he just got, like, I normally, you know, end up having these kind of conversations with my client, like suddenly. Okay, after 3 months, I have my, you know, uncle's marriage or maybe my daughter's marriage. In 3 months only, I have to be, you know, something like 20 kg down. 20 kg will not just, you know, soaked up by the sun, right? You have to move. And when you're moving for that 20 kg in 3 months, though it is highly impractical, I would say, being a professional, I don't really advise them because, again, I don't want to going into the details of, okay, how much will be the, you know, right amount of weight to lose every week or every month. I'm not going into it. But again, if you say it is not realistic, at the same time, you're putting a lot of, you know, load on the body.
Right.
In very short amount of time. And then also not taking care of nutrition. So you end up having a lot of injuries inside, which you will not get to know that time.
Right.
Yeah, because your body always prevents yourself. Always. It is always there to, you know, recuperate you from whatever you are doing with it.
Yes.
But if you keep on abusing it, what will happen? The end result is injury.
Yeah.
Right?
And then comes prehab.
Then comes rehab.
Rehab, actually.
Prehab, you don't even give chance, you know. You know, you're not giving chance.
Yes.
You're not even giving chance. Because if you are going for that higher amount of goal, you're not giving chance for prehab.
The workload is too much.
Workload is too much. Then you end up having rehab only. Yeah. Then physiotherapists come into fiction. Yeah.
Yep. There is a new term these days. Like we talked about those sedentary people. Like you talked about housewives.
Yeah.
I don't see there is any housewife anymore because most of the work is done by maids.
True.
Yeah. So most of the people are sitting on their butt. And so spine biomechanist, Dr. Stuart McGill, he has coined this term gluteal amnesia. People's glutes are sleeping and because of that they're developing a lot of issues related with mobility and strength and everything. So how do you, you know, define this and how to cure it?
Okay, so this is also I would love to share because I keep on talking this word everywhere and this is something I call the laziest muscle in the human body is glute. You know, so when I was in Goa, I just came back today, so I was just giving this example yesterday only to my class there, like, okay, so we have to work on the laziest muscle in the body, and they were like, which? I was like, the one which was soaking in the sun and bathing, you know, basically getting tan. So that is your glute, which is not even working, you know, lying down on the table, on the chair, on the sofa, watching TV, having popcorns all the time, not moving at all. And there you are getting a lot of imbalances because glute is the biggest muscle in the body and have a lot of responsibilities of the body in terms of stability and taking the load of the movement. If it is not strong, you're getting injuries and pains in the lower back, in the knees, in the ankles, and maybe end up having that in the spine, everywhere. So it is the main part of core, I would say. Yeah. People say core and they end up having the six packs. You know, they end up having just the crunches all the time. And they think that if they have six pack or eight packs or four packs or whatever, totally again, it is anatomical. So they think that that is only core, but the biggest part of the core is your glute. If that is not strong, you're nothing. You're nothing. People are just building their upper bodies and not working on the glute part. So glute amnesia, like he said, is very right, because if you're not using any particular muscle or any body part in the system, your body is going to start, you know, making it inefficient.
Shutting it down.
So same goes for muscles. Like you get hypertrophy when you work, you get atrophy the moment you start not using it or stop using it, right? Same goes for muscles, same goes for bones. In the same way, your body starts to decrease the bone density if you're not using them, right? So it happens everywhere in the body with all the systems because your body is so smart, right? The one term which we know, BMR, basal metabolic rate. So it is the amount of kilocalories your body requires in a day to run your daily life function, sustain the life function, very basic, very minimal, right? So that means body knows that whatever function is happening in the body requires some amount of energy. And your body's DNA is something like that, already structured, there, encoded, that if anything is not getting used, take it away. Right away, take it away. We don't need it because it is taking the energy.
Right.
And body is so selfish. It will not give any extra kilocalories to you. You know, you have to really increase and generate that demand from the body to take it out. Right? And that's why we end up having, you know, 1 hour of cardio every day. Okay, take out some calories, sweat, eat less. Why? Because your body is not giving you any extra calories unless you are using it. Right? So if you're not using any body part, basically in the end, what you are doing is you're making that inefficient, right? So muscles are getting weaker, bones are getting weaker, glutes you're not using, then it is impacting other things also because your body again works as into integration as a unit. So it is again affecting your whole system from up to down. People are getting a lot of spinal issues nowadays, knee issues nowadays, ankle issues nowadays. People want to be an athlete, want to run marathons, not training anything, right? Just on the name of training, they will go to gym, they will just, you know, do some upper body exercises, and on the name of marathon running, they will just end up running only. They don't really focus on conditioning part then, right? So that balanced approach is not there, and people really don't even know the meaning of conditioning, I would say. So that's not their issue, because that is something a fitness professional should teach them. But the only painful part is here that fitness professionals also nowadays not aware of the fact of these things, because To be very frank, I would be really harsh here this time, but it is something like you are wearing a white coat as a doctor without having any education with you, no experience, no knowledge, but you are treating your patients. Yes. Yeah, you are doing surgeries every day.
It happens in villages.
It happens in villages. Sometimes they get successful also. Like
yes, I know.
Yeah, hit and run is happening everywhere. Yeah. But you tell me, would you like to go to some doctor?
Not at all.
Who doesn't have any knowledge or practice and nothing, and just treating you like, okay, come, we will see what will happen.
No. So what do you do for if you would suggest us some basic exercises which anyone can do at home or somewhere?
I will give you a very, very, very good example of my grandmother. Right? Very good example of my grandmother and grandfather, basically. And it is not only with my grandmother and grandfather, it is for your grandmother, grandfather, and everywhere. So I'm just skipping one generation, my mother, father, and going just above, for everyone. If you go back to that time, you will see those people used to do all household work on their own, right? They used to do everything, all the body movements. So they don't even used to think what they are doing, but they used to do all the primary movements of the body, which includes push, pull, rotation, single leg, and bend and lift. They used to do everything.
Without knowing.
And they used to be healthy also. No injuries, even after moving that much, right? No disease, because they used to, move that much. Also, no joint related issues, because they used to always use their joints and the muscles, right?
Yes.
But what happened suddenly then, in last few decades, that we got lot of modernization,
yes,
into our lifestyle. And now we are so busy in our work only, right? We are not even doing our basic movements in life. So if you are not using your basic movements in life, and when your body is designed to move only, so what are you doing then? Same thing, your body is getting inefficient. Same thing, your body is not providing even a single kilocalorie or a nutrition or a hormone to your muscles or the joints or the bones or anywhere. And then you are ending up having inefficiency in the body, inflexibility in the body, immobility in the body, atrophy in the muscles, and lack of bone strength, right? Lack of coordination. Lack of everything, I would say, right?
So your prescription is to get your ass off the mat.
That's
off
it.
The chair.
I would just say, I also say, see, I train a lot of clients, yeah, right? And they always tell me that how to, get fit, how to stay in shape, why you're always in shape, you eat a lot. I eat a lot, yeah, frankly speaking, I eat a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is, yeah, simple stuff. Move a lot and your body will demand for it.
Yeah. It needs more calories.
Simple. You move. First you give that, at least you generate that demand. And I give them example. Very good. I say them, okay, I train little high class clients, yeah, so they are, filthy rich with their all maids and servants.
Yes.
I just give them simple example of their home only. Just look at your servants and maids. Do they have any injury? Do they have any illness?
Yeah.
They are fit. Because they are moving day in, day out for you.
Mm.
And what you are doing? Sitting in a sofa and calling, hey, come here and give me this.
Mm-hmm.
You are not even, getting your cup of tea from the kitchen.
Right.
Not even a glass of water. What you are doing? Are you moving at all? No. You are not even burning 50 kilocalories in a day just because of your movement. No, you are not doing anything. Sitting in a car, going to the mall, sitting in a sofa, having coffee there, going to the movie theater, sitting again, eating there, then going to the dinner, then eating there, coming back and sleeping there. What are you doing? Where are you moving? You're using all the luxuries of your life for your comfort.
Right.
So the only thing you have to change is come out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying that in one day just go to join the CrossFit gym and you will be,
yes,
fit. No. Just do that simple stuff. Move out from the sofa. Start walking to the kitchen.
Yes.
Just change your lifestyle. That's what I would say. And I would say, do all the movements what your body can do without even thinking about it. Nowadays, people are getting a lot of hip replacement surgeries. Right. Lot of. Why? They're not using it. If you will not use your hip joint, what will happen? Same thing. Inefficiency. Immobility. The moment you're getting immobility, now it is stucking. Right? Nutrition. Nutrients is not going there. Hormones are not going there. Blood is not going there. Oxygen is not going there.
There is no need.
What will happen in between? Yeah, there is no need. What will happen then after some time? You will have to replace it because it is inefficient now. It cannot work for you.
Lose it.
Same goes, use it or lose it. Yeah. Same goes for your shoulders. People are getting frozen shoulders. Frozen shoulders are nothing that you are getting immobile there. Right? Your tissues are dying. Your cells are dying because you are not using that body part. You tell me, Abhishek, how many people really do beyond 30 degree range of motion from their shoulders in day-to-day life? You tell me. How many of people are really going beyond their shoulder level up? No one.
No one.
Very few. If you are playing sport only, maybe. Then
not only. Even there. Even we see many issues in CrossFit, in our box, like people are getting, you know, some shoulder pain after some workouts, and the reason is they were never been here.
True.
So they started doing it suddenly.
Suddenly.
So their body.
That's
resting.
The only problem. Yeah. So for all the shoulder injuries, I just say one thing to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even go into rehab and prehab. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I just say hang.
Yes.
Go and hang. Just go and hang. The moment you will hang, all the oscillation thing will happen inside.
Yes.
All those tissues and cells start to get something there because now they are working for it, mm-hmm. right? Your body will automatically start giving the blood, and blood is the fundamental medicine in the body.
Fundamental nutrients.
If blood is going, everything is going. If your blood is not going, forget about anything. You cannot take your medicine and put it there. Your blood has to do it.
Yes.
So if you are not moving, you are not getting it.
Yeah.
Simple. Right?
Exactly. Now, we were talking about abs. And like people are doing thousands of crunches to make them. But then you bring this term. Like, it's not just abs. So I'm coming to that. This lumbopelvic region.
Yeah.
How to, like, we see every day that people don't have any control on their, like, they're doing squats and they're doing butt winking.
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to teach them proper hinge, they are unable to realize where where their pelvis is going, if their lower back is arching or rounding.
Yeah.
So, how to, you know, first of all, tell our listeners, what is this lumbopelvic region? Slightly for their, you know, information, and how to actually, you know, create this awareness over there so they can feel it.
You're right, Abhishek, and that's what I was just speaking to you before the podcast, right?
Yeah.
About all these things only.
Yes.
Yeah? About the body alignment and how to move and where a professional should come into picture.
Yes.
So my whole idea was there that time was not to say that I'm stopping the movement, but I'm guiding someone to do it rightly, right? So lumbopelvic region, like you said, so it's all about lumbar region, which we have, and the pelvis. So how your lumbar and pelvis should behave while doing movement. First of all, I would say your spine is not there to give you movement. It should be neutral always.
Okay.
It should be neutral. Yes, mobility should be there, but it should be neutral. So spine should not basically contributing or sacrificing itself for your pelvis. If your pelvis is not mobile, then your spine should not get rounded. That means your pelvis is stuck in some forward flexions or anterior, whenever you are falling forward, right? Anything. So falling forward could be anything, when you are going forward and touching your toes, or you are going into squat or into deadlift. So there, if your pelvis is not moving or is not mobile that much, then what will happen? If you still go beyond the movement, beyond the range, your spine has to round it, compensate. So if your spine is compensating, there is something you are getting trouble in the spine. Then you are getting compression in the vertebrae. And people don't get it because your body will not tell you in one day.
Right.
The slow destruction starts. Right, slowly, 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 people name it after some time, disc bulge. a slip disc, which is nothing but that cushioning which is in between your vertebrae that they are now pushing away.
Yeah.
And as we know, we have very important structure in between our vertebrae, which we call spinal cord.
Yeah.
And if it is getting disturbed, it will not let you happy then, right? It will also give you some pain and the associated nerves which are going from there, right? And that's how we get sciatica pain. That's how we get all those upper region pain, piriformis syndrome, and all those things. That is what? That is the basically a disturbance or imbalance in the body. And same term I use for the disease. What is disease? Disease is nothing but dis-ease. So wherever you have dis-ease in the body, be it illness related or be it injury related, wherever there is a dis-ease in the body, the only and only, I think, solution is keep it in balance again. There should not be something very much high at 100 or nothing at 0, somewhere in between. Be at 50, I would say. Be at 50, be consistent and you'll be happy, healthy and fine, right? And when we are talking about lumbopelvic region, so here, nowadays, because of our lifestyle, we all are very tight in our muscles. Right, hunching forward, doing work, laptop work, and I also call it digital disaster.
Oh my god.
Oh yes, digital disaster is the word, I would say. Yeah, so nowadays mobiles and laptops, we are always hanging forward with our neck, right, keeping a lot of stress on the cervical spine, which is again going to the traps on the middle back, and that's why we are always, you know, tight and always stuck and always releasing the fascia stuff on the, you know, trap part. So what, but it will not go like this. Yeah, yes. It will give you a temporary relief for definitely for that particular movement. But if you really want to get it resolved, you have to see the root cause of it. So where the root cause is coming from the head, it is tilting forward. Keep it back first. The moment you keep it back, it will be relaxed automatically. Same goes for your lumbar pelvic region. Why you're getting that lower back pain? Because you're using your lower back for what it is not meant for. Why you are moving your lower back up and down, forward, flexion, extension? It is not made for that. It is made for just sit there in a lordotic posture, little bit. That's it. That little arch, neutral arch should be there. If you are rounding it again and again, again and again, again and again, you are causing that slow destruction inside, which you can't see from the front, right? And your disc is now bulging. Disc is now hitting against your spinal cord or those associated nerves right there. Right, so there I you know, tell my clients or tell my whosoever I'm training that, okay, so limit your movement, the movement you're winking too much, maybe before 90 degrees, just limit your movements and then work on. So I would not say like throughout the life for 100 years now you have to just, you know, move into this range of motion. No, at the same time work on your flexibility. Slowly, see which is stopping you. What is stopping you? Maybe posterior chain muscles are tight. Maybe your glutes are tight, because there is always a difference between tightness and the
weakness,
right? And tightness and the strong strength. Because yes, people sometimes get it confused. In confusion, right? Because whenever I say, okay, your glutes are weak because you do not work on glutes, then at the same time they will say, oh, really? But if they are weak, how they are holding me back? How they are giving me posterior tilt? Because they are short. So there is a difference between shortness and strength, right? So a muscle can be short and tight, but not necessarily they have strength. They don't have strength. They are short and tight. That's it, because they didn't work. Or maybe they work a lot, right? They work a lot. Or they are compensating for something else, right? So that is the difference which one has to understand. And for the lumbopelvic region, I would just say for the butt winking, release your posterior chain muscles, glutes and hamstring and the calves, and maybe for some extent your lower back, and then just make sure that you're training your lower back also, because it's all about proprioception, knowing of your body, awareness of your body, where your body is into space, how you're moving. People even don't know when they move, because when they move, they are not aware of how they are moving. And it is so simple that I just say this thing, which I learned in rehab training, that your body or your brain, I would say here, your brain just know what movement to do. It really doesn't know which muscle to use.
Yes.
So it just flows it flows like a river. So have you ever seen a river climbing the mountain and going up other way around, other side?
Never.
A river climbing a mountain, it will always take the easiest path,
yes.
Right? So in the same way, your brain takes the easiest part to do the movement. Unless you will tell it
to use the
right muscle and the right joint. Otherwise, it will just go. And that's how people get a lot of lower back injuries. They will not use their knee joint. They will not use their hip joint. They will just hang from up to pick something from the ground. And there they get the lower back injury. Right away. Right? Because your spine is not designed to move like this. I've heard somewhere, I've read, I think, that your spine is so much capable and so much strong that you can, if it is aligned properly in S shape, it can easily bear 750 pounds of weight on it. But if it is misaligned even a little bit, with half of kg of weight only, it can go for a toss. So it is, yeah, so body is a miracle, right? It is so strong yet so weak.
Yeah, you might have seen, I do these Jefferson curls to train my lower back in that flex position.
True.
And I started with 4-5 kgs. And now, like you're saying, if you can train your body up to any extent, now I can do same Jefferson curl with 75 kgs.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. Like people are not training that region at all, and then suddenly loading it with some abrupt movement and getting injured.
Yes. Also, this lumbopelvic region training starts from very basic thing. I never tell them, tell my clients or anyone to do very fancy stuff, you know. Just very simple stuff. Sit upright. The moment you sit upright, you're using your postural muscles. And there is one postural muscle in the lower back we call multifida.
Yeah.
And everyone has it inhibited. Everyone's multifida is inhibited. Inhibited means not working at all. It is there, but not working. So if that switch is off, so you can easily imagine how you can switch it on right away when you're going for the training.
Yeah.
If 23 hours it is off, then for 1 hour you can expect it to switch on and work for you. So you have to start this training from home. Sit upright. When you sit upright, then that multifida is working now. And it will now slowly and gradually start to get activated. Your body will be aware of this, that okay, your body posture should be like this while doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be like this only while doing movement also, squat and deadlift.
But don't you think when I say, or you say to anyone that sit straight, most of the time people who don't have good T-spine extension, they extend from their lower back.
You're right.
And then say, see, I'm straight.
So it is a holistic
adding.
You're right. It is a holistic approach then. So I have said that just to tell you that this is what have to be done.
I'm looking for that cue, like how to tell someone that, to sit in the right position without hyperextending lower back.
Okay, since you have put in this point in front that for the kyphotic posture people, right? I would always suggest them to sit against the wall.
Okay.
Right? And I would always suggest also one thing, to keep their knees close to the body so that they are not flaring their ribs up
like
when they are sitting like this. Right? Okay, so this is small things one can do. Also, I do some strap work for the thoracic region.
Mm-hmm.
You strap it and you can keep it away and lift your chest up and shoulders.
In Iyengar yoga, they have these straps and all.
So I do that strap work for those people. But that is something very deep now. So I just said very basic thing that if you want to train that muscle, start using it. Simple. You have to just use it because there are a lot of muscles in the body, mainly the postural one, which we are not using at all.
Right.
We are just working on our strength and the superficial muscles all the time. Lifting 500 kg of weight, but that muscle which is supposed to be giving you posture, it really doesn't require 5 pounds of body weight, 5 pounds of weight external, really. So forget about 500 kg. It really don't require 5 pounds even. It just requires your attention, that you should recruit them in the moment. The moment you start recruiting them in the moment, the work is done.
Yeah, like what people do some in gymnastic training or in athletic training, people do this Superman exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That could be, what do you think? Is it
Superman exercise, or we in yoga we say Salabhasana,
yeah,
or Lotus pose. Mm-hmm. We also say that because they do it with hands back, not in front. Mm-hmm. You can do it in front. Yeah, we say alternate Superman on Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Very good posture, very good pose for the lower back strengthening, but people are getting injuries there also, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know the biomechanics of the body, then what people do it in that pose, they end up having compression on the lower back.
Yeah. Because again, they're hyperextending.
They're hyperextending, right? So unless they know that what should be the range, healthy range for that back, lower back to move back into hyperextension, also to keep it lengthened at the same time,
right,
by giving some posterior tilt on the hips and, yes, engagement of the glutes. Unless they are doing that, they are not helping them basically. They are ruining them further. So if you as a professional know these cueings, then definitely go for it and tell them first, tuck the tailbone in, glutes engage, squeeze, lengthen your spine and then go up.
Easy. Yeah.
And start with Cobra, not even have to lift their hands and legs away from the floor.
Use your hands to push yourself up.
Just start with the Cobra. Everything is down on the floor. Start using them. First, once their body will be aware of those movements and those muscles, which how to work what, you will be done. And again, we are coming back to the glutes again.
Yeah.
If the glutes are not strong there, again, they're going to lose the power, or they're going to lose the control. And again, you're going to have having that compression on the lower back.
So, huge discussion on lumbar pelvic region. Yeah. So, breathing and mobility goes hand in hand.
Definitely.
And it's very important component of yoga also. So, would you please elaborate it for our listeners that how mobility can be, altered by right breathing, or can be, screwed by bad breathing mechanics?
I would say breathing is life,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Right. Without breath, we are not here, right?
Yeah.
Right. We can't survive. Not more than 1 minute, 2 minutes. Maybe with your practice, if you have mastered it for 5 minutes,
yeah,
but nothing beyond that then,
yeah,
right? So it is not permanent, right?
Not at all.
So that means breathing is vital,
mm-hmm,
vital source for us, right? And breathing in yoga, we say prana,
mm-hmm,
right? And pranayama also,
yes,
we have, right? Pranayama is that expansion and extension of that vital force,
right?
So vital force, what is that vital force? That breath. That breath is the vital force. And that breath is so important that if you're not using it rightly, then basically you're not helping your body at all. Instead, you're getting some of the other troubles. And that's what is happening nowadays in fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Basically in fitness, right? Because what is happening? Everyone is going for heavier and heavier weights. Everyone is going for fast and agile movements. And there they are losing their breath control with the movements. And if you're not connected with your breath and the movements, then you're losing something there, right? That it is getting disturbed.
Right.
Then your flow of the energy is not there, right? That flow should be there. That prana should flow everywhere. So in yoga, we say nadis, or you can say channels, energy blocks or channels. Or you can just say, it should go to all the capillaries everywhere,
mm-hmm,
from head to toe, or from fingertip to toe, everywhere. It should run everywhere. So that means when you're flowing or when you're doing some movements, use it with the breath.
Mm. Okay.
Don't do any movement where you have to stop your breath. Because stopping the breath is not our fundamental. Stopping your breath is not what we are made up for. We cannot stop the breath. Our breath should be always flowing, easy, in and out. If you are doing your movement with your flow of the breath, then everything is moving in a flow. Because like we say, every system in the body, cardiovascular, respiratory or digestive or anything, is synchronized with each other.
Yes.
Everything is working together. Nothing is working in isolation, right? Everything is working together. The moment you inhale, and if you're not inhaling proper breath, that means we say diaphragmatic breathing,
yeah,
right? And nowadays, everyone is doing shallow breathing,
yes,
right? They don't even take their breath below their throat, I would say. Just here only. They end it here only. At the throat level.
The chest.
At the throat level only. Yeah? I would not even go to the chest, I would say. Nowadays, so everyone is so busy, right?
Yes.
Everyone is so busy nowadays that they have no time to breathe in inside. They're so busy. So they are always breathing where? Till the throat. That's it.
Right.
Why we are having a lot of respiratory issues nowadays? Why we are having a lot of cardiovascular issues nowadays? Digestive issues nowadays? Energy level issues nowadays? Just because of breath. If you're not breathing properly, breathing is prana. Breathing is the fundamental and the most important thing which you should first focus on before anything, I would say. If anyone comes to me first, I just check their breath.
Wow.
First thing, just check the breath, that how the person is breathing, how the person is communicating with you, how he is introducing you. Yeah. Is he introducing very heavy? That means he's not breathing completely.
Yeah.
He's not relaxed. If you're not relaxed, if you're always into stress.
Mm.
Because your body senses what? Stress.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know it is physical or mental.
Right.
Stress is stress for the body. Stress. Once it is in stress, it will change everything inside.
Mm.
Right? So breath. So once your breath is in control and you are aware of it, how it is flowing, deep inhalation and longer exhalation.
Right?
Right? Once you are doing that, once you have that control, everything will go smooth. Because body works in a unit again. Your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system will be balanced all the time. Right?
Right.
Like in yoga we say, Ida and Pingala nadis. They are simple. Same. Sun and moon. Everything is same. I would say, yin and yang. Everything is same. You don't even say yoga. You say fitness, yoga. Or maybe Tai Chi. Or take some other things. Everywhere they teach the same thing. It is like climbing a mountain and reaching at the top of that Mount Everest, but someone is starting from Tibet, someone is starting from Nepal, someone is starting from India, someone from China.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's goal is to reach at the top.
Yes.
Just they are taking the different methods,
mm-hmm.
right? But in the end, everyone is teaching same thing, control of breath. So
yeah,
once...
I'll back to differ. No, fitness industry is not teaching how to breathe.
I think they were doing it. And if you see a good courses in fitness, they also do that. But the only thing is how they are being communicated further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how their disciples, I would say, who are teaching from them, how they are communicating it further.
Yes.
No one is doing that.
Yes.
So that's some missing link, I would say. There. Some missing link is there. But breath is so important. If you have that breath control, no respiratory disorders, because first you're going to get enough oxygen inside.
Right.
Once you're doing diaphragmatic breathing. When you're getting enough oxygen, then only your blood molecules can take those number of oxygen molecules with them to deliver into the bloodstream and to your cellular level. Once it is there, everything, why will you feel weak?
Mm-hmm.
Why will you feel any hyperventilation? You tell me. You will not feel, right? But if you are doing shallow breathing, your heart is now have to pump more. It is again related.
Yes.
Because now the oxygen is coming less. So your heart will have to pump more blood because the number of oxygen molecules are less in the body. So it is pumping more so that it can deliver more, faster, right? So it is doing some stressful job, that means, that time. So you're getting some heart-related issues then. You're always into stress because the moment your heart is beating little up, you're always into sympathetic zone, right? So if you're into sympathetic zone, that means now your digestion system will not work.
Yes.
Because digestion system can work only in calmness.
Yes.
Right? In parasympathetic zone. Right? So everything is related. And see, it is starting from a simple thing called breath.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you pointed this out we are discussing on this.
I've seen this. Like people come, they have tight shoulders and they are doing lots of mobility work and nothing is improving. And suddenly you say that sit down,
breathe,
lie around in crocodile position and breathe to that crocodile breath for like 10 minutes. And suddenly they feel more mobile. So it's too simple.
It is too simple. Yes, Abhishek, you are right. Because and you see what we do in static stretchings. Same thing. But people don't have time to do it, right? Nowadays, they don't have. PNF stretch is all about that.
Yes.
PNF stretches all works on the breath part, right? Your autogenic inhibition, reciprocal inhibition, whatever is happening inside the body, that is fine. But if you are not using right breath, they will not also work properly. So if you are using that breath part rightly, then you will see that mobility will come to you closer and closer faster than before.
Yes.
And you can gain that mobility, the thoracic rotation and everything, whatever you want. Just use the breath. Just use the right breath. Be calm. Because whenever you are in, again, the mechanism, I would say, there is a logic behind it. Why? Because whenever you're tensed, you're not breathing properly. Your body is again into stress. And whenever body is into stress, it will always resist and fight against it.
Yes.
Right? Rather than releasing it. But the moment you're breathing normally, very calm, body feels safe.
Yes.
Body feels very relaxed. Then body will allow you to, okay, go. Surrender. It's all about surrender in the end, isn't it? Be it spiritual, physical, emotional,
yes,
whatever.
It's
all about surrender in the end. If you're surrendering your body, surrendering your breath, very easy, relax. Your body will give you. That means, I say it this way. When you ask something from the universe gives it back.
Yeah,
your intention
true.
Should be right.
Yes.
Right?
But again, like, universe is not giving me my full shoulder extension.
Yeah.
So that will bring us to the next question. Like, shoulder extension is the way full shoulder flexion is missing these days.
Yeah.
The same way shoulder extension is missing. And especially the gym goers who do a lot of bench press and pressing movements, they're not just losing flexion, but they're losing extension too. So, what do you think about it, and how to, you know, some movements which you suggest us, which we can practice?
I will again come to the basic point again, Abhishek, and it is same. Are you using your shoulder joint, which is which we call a joint of circumduction,
yeah.
A joint which can move in any direction, right? Are you using that joint in day-to-day life in all the ranges, in all the directions? Are you really using it? I just pointed that out a few minutes before, that mostly the population is not even using their shoulder joint beyond 30 degrees. Beyond 30 degrees, right? Very few at shoulder level, right? But no one is going beyond that. So if you're not using your shoulder beyond your shoulder level in your day-to-day life, how can you expect that shoulder to work for you in training? Because shoulder muscles and tissues and cells have lost their control, have lost their memory to do those stuff. So when I say that, this is a very layman term, which I just said. But if we go anatomically, that how body is responding there is, if you're not doing certain range of motion in that particular joint, which is supposed to be done, in those areas, the joint capsule is not getting nutrients, right? Is not getting nutrients, is not getting hormones, is not getting oxygen. And that means is not getting rebirth there. Cells and tissues are not going there. They are dying there. If they are dying there, how can you expect a dying tissue and dying cells to work for you? Cannot.
How can you mobilize?
How can you? So go slowly then. Start with that functional movement. I would say functional, why? Your shoulder can do 180 degree movement. Try and hold your shoulder joint at every degree for some point with resistance or something. And see, it will start helping you back. Just see at the village where they, you know, cut the grass or something for their cows and buffalo.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
The wheel thing?
Yes. Yeah. They do full mobility of the shoulder. Do they have any frozen shoulder? Any problem? Nothing.
They have huge shoulders.
Nothing. They do all the movements, right? They do wood cutting, they do those things, they do farming, they do... So they are basically using their shoulders in all the directions, day in, day out. No problem at all. But here in cities, we are just sitting on a laptop, shoulders are down, hunch forward, not using them beyond this. Everything, even when we are eating, see, our elbows are working, not even the shoulders are working. See? So if you're not using the shoulders, how can you expect a shoulder? Then people are directly going for rehab. What rehab will do?
Yes.
What we have to do? Just start doing that simple stuff with your shoulders are supposed to. We are primates. We are primates and we have very strong upper body, let me tell you. We have very good muscles called lats, right? We are made to chin up. We are made to chin up and climb trees, like you said, hang, right? We are, but we are not using them. The moment you start using them, you see the difference. So I start my rehab for those people, just hang. If you cannot hang, get the weight and let it hang on you then. So do the lat pull down machine, sit there with the weight. Don't even need to do anything. Just let the weight pull you up. That's it. Simple. Very simple.
It is simple but sinister. because I see people like we are strong proponent of squatting and hanging. He prescribed this 7-minute hang every day and sitting in squat for 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But these solutions seem simple to people.
True.
And they'd be like, what the hell? We have paid so much money for sitting and hanging. So, and then they need, those toys that give me this bag or give me that particular
stretch.
It's
all about packaging in the end.
Yes.
Yes. So, the simple stuff always comes into, surprising way in front of you. Though it is simple but yet effective, I would say. So people really don't have to spend a lot of money for the rehabilitations, I would say. If they just start doing their simple bodily movement, and they don't have to go to any professional for that reason.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely not need to spend any money. Just look for your grandparents, what they used to do. Simple. What they used to do. What all they used to do. Because now our parents are not doing it. And that's why we are
not doing it.
Simple. They are not doing it. Now everyone has their servants and maids there at home. Everyone can afford it because India is a very rich country. I'm telling you because on the globe it might not be because everyone is holding the money back.
Relatively we have become richer.
Yeah, so everyone is not showing their bank accounts in front, but I would say everyone can afford everything.
Yes.
India can never go into economical crush. Never. Because everyone is holding a lot of money. Okay, joking, maybe not.
No, it's exactly. It's true because this money will bring a lot of vices in the
future.
Hey guys, we were in conversation with Gaurav Negi. Keep watching this space as we will gonna drop the second part of this conversation soon. Stay tuned and keep listening to Road to Revamp. See you around.